I want to encourage everyone to take your iPad, your iPhone, your Bible, whatever you have, and I want you to stand. And we're going to go to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, folks, let me say this. The man who wrote this was the richest man who ever lived. He was the richest man ever lived, and he was the wisest man to have ever lived. Now, I know Solomon was the wisest man to ever live, but it always rocked my world that why would the wisest man who ever lived have 700 wives? Now, somebody said, wow, but no. Before you think about wow, think about this. That's also 700 mother-in-laws. But the wisest man who ever lived said these words: trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct our paths. I want to talk to you about how do you trust God. There was a gentleman that was out over a canyon, and he had a tightrope across that canyon. And he said to a group of people that were there, he said, how many of you believe that I can walk this tightrope across the canyon? And one lady spoke up and she said, I believe. And so he walked that tightrope. He walked the canyon and came back. She said, I told you he could do it. I told you. She told the people, said, I told you he could do it. He said, well, now, folks, how many of you believe I can take a wheelbarrow? I'm going to take a wheelbarrow, and I'm going to walk across the tightrope. That one lady said, oh, I believe, I tell you. I know he can do it. I just totally believe. Sure enough, he took that wheelbarrow. He walked the tightrope. And then he said, how many of you believe that I can put 150 pounds in this wheelbarrow and walk the tightrope? And the lady said, oh, I believe. Then he looked at her and he said, get in the wheelbarrow. And she said, I don't believe that much. Now, how do we trust God, ladies and gentlemen, when it means getting in the wheelbarrow? See, the word trust is 191 times in the Bible. And literally, if you research trust, it means, this is literally what it means. It means to lay up on a bed. It means to lay up on a bed. When you went to bed last night and you lied down, it means literally to lay up on a bed. Now, when I went to bed last night, I didn't walk over to the bed and kind of, I think this will handle it. I never thought last night, I never thought about looking over at Barbara and saying, you go first. Maybe that's why they call it jumping into bed, amen? But literally, literally, I'm killing the water. Literally, it's trusting the bed. Now see, I'm convinced this is what trust is. Trust, ladies and gentlemen, it's when you're willing to do what God says, even when you don't know what it is. Now, that went over about 90% of your heads. Trust is when you're willing to do what God says, even when you don't know what it is. Trust is obeying God and leaving the consequences to Him. Now, here's what I thought. We talk about I trust God, I trust God, she trusts God, he trusts God. Well, how do we flesh that out? How do we trust God with our daily lives? How do I flesh out, how do you flesh out trusting God with our daily lives? Let me give you five things we got to do. First of all, folks, I've got to depend on God's wisdom and not my wisdom. I've got to depend on God's wisdom and not my wisdom. Now, this guy Solomon, he'd accomplished so much. The Queen of Sheba came, and she looked at what he'd accomplished, and she said, my goodness, the half's not even been told. But this man was the wisest man who ever lived. I mean, folks, he was better than Bill Gates. I mean, he was better than any of these people. Donald Trump was a pauper in his sight. And this man said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy paths. You know what the word paths means there? I'll tell you what it means. It means God's perfect will for your life. Wait. It means God will show you the person to marry. And by the way, if you're a Christian, he or she will be a Christian. Don't you be dating anybody that don't love Jesus more than you do. You say, well, what if I marry an unchristian? Well, right off the bat, you get the devil for a father-in-law. Amen? Let me say, folks, path is the business that you're to go into. It's the career that you're supposed to take. It's the decisions. It's God's perfect will for your life. And we've got to depend on God's wisdom, not ours. Abraham Lincoln was pretty smart. But he said, I've been driven to my knees by an overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My wisdom and all about me seemed insufficient for the day. We've got to depend on God's wisdom. See, Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is a dead end. You say, oh, I've got with him. Yes, but if it's not God's plan, it'll be a dead end. I've stepped out and I'm doing this. Yes, but if it's not God's plan, it'll be a dead end. You say, but you don't understand, Pastor Benny. I just got this gut feeling. Let me tell you, that gut feeling is pizza. That gut feeling is pizza. That God feeling is truth. It's truth. Now, I'm going to be real practical. Pastor Benny, how can I get God's wisdom? Get this down. You've got to pray throughout your day. You've got to pray throughout your day. I'm not talking about just before breakfast, rub-a-dub-dub, thank God for the grub, and then go on living the day. No. I'm talking about praying throughout your day. Because here's what I want you to understand. According to James 1 and 5, God wants to give you his wisdom. Look what it says. If any one of you, that's me and you, lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all people generously. God said, Benny, why don't you ask me? Because I generously want to give you my wisdom. See, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And I researched it, and this is what it means. Never stop praying. You say, so Pastor Benny, so every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I'm to pray. No. But I'm saying, friend, you ought to always be in the spirit of prayer. D.L. Moody said, I never prayed long prayers, but I never went long without prayer. What you need to live your life is like this. God, I'm getting ready to go into a meeting. Direct me on what to say. God, you tell me how to act. God, you direct me on the reaction. Lord, I really don't know which decision to make. Would you show me which decision to make? God, today, would you put me with the right people? Would you put me in the right place? God, would you bring the right people around me? Yes. See, let me tell you something. Depending on God's wisdom is when you pray to God throughout your day. Let me tell you a second thing. If you're going to depend on God's wisdom, you're going to read your Bible every day. See, some of you right now, you're already ready to go. I'm knee-deep preaching the Word of God, and you're ready to go. You're just ready to go. You're afraid the Baptists are going to beat you to a restaurant. You're ready to go. But let me tell you something, folks. We need the Bible every day. You need the Bible every day. I need the Bible every day. Think about this. Thy word, Psalms 119, verse 105, says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Now, hey, if you go to Israel with me, many of you have been, you get an opportunity to buy these. That's a biblical lamp. That's a biblical lamp. When you go to Israel, you can get one of these for about $1.99. Or today, see me after the service, I'm running a blue light special, $20 a piece. That's a biblical lamp. Now, you know what? It don't put out much light. You've got to keep it close to you. Thy word is a lamp. Folks, let me tell you something. You're going to have to keep the word of God close to you. You're going to have to be in the word every day if you're going to get God's wisdom. That's God's word. So, Pastor, how do I get God's wisdom? You pray to God throughout your day. You read your Bible. And lastly, you depend on the Holy Spirit. You depend on the Holy Spirit. See, here's where most churches are. Most churches, when it comes to the Spirit of God, they're either one extreme or the other extreme. They're either a mental asylum or they're a cemetery. Are y'all okay? Most churches are either a mental asylum or they're a cemetery. I mean, just folks, I preach in churches just somewhere just about every day. And I don't mean this wrong. I cannot handle dead. I cannot handle it. I preached in one time. Literally while I was preaching, a man died. Paramedics came, carried out 13 men before they got the right one. I can't handle it, folks. I love to see somebody excited about Jesus. I love to see somebody excited about Jesus. But see, let me tell you about these lamps. It only burns 2 to 4 hours. And then it runs out of oil. Then it runs out of oil, just like the virgins did in Matthew 25. They ran out of oil. So what do we need? We need Psalms 92 and 10. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I shall. See, let me tell you something. You're in the world with the world, flesh, and the devil. Let me tell you something. Sometimes it seems like, folks, I mean, just something like they're coming at us from every angle. I mean, I sometimes feel like I'm a ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic. They're coming at me from every angle. I'm just being honest with you. Sometimes I feel like I'm in a phone booth with four Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, they're just coming at me from every angle. And let me tell you, the answer is we need a fresh filling of God's Spirit. There's nothing wrong with saying, God, I need a fresh filling of your Spirit, because the fruit of your Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And let me tell you something. If you're married, you need some love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance in your life. We all do. We can't be the husbands and wives that we need to be without the Holy Spirit. So I depend on God's wisdom, not mine. Well, how else, Pastor, can I really flesh out this deal? Well, second of all, I depend on God's strength, not mine. I depend on God's strength, not mine. You say, well, Pastor Benny, what do you mean? Well, see, folks, this is what I've learned. Our strength is limited, but God's strength is unlimited. Our strength is limited, but God's strength is unlimited. You know, I'm convinced of this. You know why some people never get over a tragedy? They never get over the affair. They never get over the divorce. They never get over the bankruptcy. They never get over the situation. No matter, they never get over the sickness. They never get over it. You know why a lot of people never can get over it? Because get this down, folks. They're depending on their strength instead of God's strength. They're depending on their strength instead of God's strength. And the Bible says in Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Through Christ's strength, not your strength, but His strength. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Isaiah 40 and 31. It talks about eagles. Eagles are mentioned 32 times in the Bible. And when we get to heaven, there'll be one bird flying around the throne of God. It will be an eagle. Yeah. But Isaiah 40 and 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know what that word renew means? It means to exchange. It means to exchange. And see, here's what I want you to see. The Christian life is not only a changed life, it's an exchange life. It's when you exchange your strength for God's strength. And you say to God, God, your strength is perfect when my strength is gone. Many times I quote Isaiah 40 and 31, and I say, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall preach and not be weary. They shall preach and not faint. Amen? So, Pastor Benny, how can I trust God? Oh, I can tell you how you trust God. You depend on God's wisdom, not yours. You depend on God's strength, not yours. But let me tell you something. I'm going to depend on God's timing, not mine. I'm going to depend on God's timing, not mine. You know, the only thing different between salad and trash is timing. A farm boy accidentally overturned his wagon load of corn in the road. The farmer who lived nearby came to investigate. Hey, Willis, he called out, forget your troubles for a spell. Come in and have dinner with us. Then I'll help you get the wagon up. That's mighty nice of you, Willis answered. But I don't think Pa would like me too. Ah, come on, son, the farmer insisted. Well, okay, the boy finally agreed, but Pa won't like it. After a hearty dinner, Willis thanked his host. I feel a lot better now, but I just know Pa's going to be real upset. Ah, don't be foolish, said the neighbor. By the way, where's he at? He said, he's under the wagon. Have you ever, folks, been in a hurry when God wasn't in a hurry? You know, I studied the life of Jesus, folks. A flaw of mine is I'm very impatient. I get impatient making instant coffee. I get impatient because the microwave won't speed up. I'm going to love the rapture one day. Zoom, and we're gone. But have you ever been in a hurry? And I studied about Jesus. I noticed everybody's in a hurry today. They want to convince us how busy they are. I'm so busy. I'm in such a hurry. But you know what's interesting? I studied the 52 days of Jesus' life. And never one time was he in a hurry. Never one time. I think there's something for us to learn there. I think there's a message. But here's what I want you to say. Folks, we got to trust God's timing. When's God going to bring that person into my life? He will, when it's right. When am I going to be able to have a baby? He will, when it's right. When am I going to win? He will, when it's right. When am I going to get the promotion? Friend, you've got to trust God's timing and not your timing. Because God's omniscient and God knows best when we don't know best. I'm working on my 29th year as pastor of this church. I would have liked to have been the pastor of this church 29 years ago. But if I'd became the pastor of this church 29 years ago, I wouldn't even be in ministry. Because it would have destroyed me. Because I wasn't ready. But Ecclesiastes 3 and 11 says, God makes all things beautiful in His time. And see, folks, if we're going to trust God, if you're going to trust God, you've got to trust His timing and not your timing. Little boy was in a shopping mall, and he was standing at the foot of an escalator. And a lady that worked in the shopping mall said, son, you're standing here at the escalator, at the foot of the escalator. Are you lost? He said, oh, no, I'm not lost. He said, I'm just waiting on my chewing gum to come back. And you know what I'd say, folks? When it seems like you're lost and you don't have any direction, what do you recommend? Just wait on God's timing. God makes all things beautiful in His timing. God's in control, ladies and gentlemen. God can handle it. Many of you need to resign as the CEO of the universe and just trust God. Barbara said to me on one occasion, this has really been as transparent as I know how. She said, I want to ask you something, Benny. And I don't mind telling you, she's the greatest person I know. I wish she doesn't want me to say this, but I wish I was as good. I'm not a good Christian. She's a good Christian. I'm not. She's a wonderful person, been a wonderful wife. Supported me totally. Behind every successful man is a surprise woman. She said, I want to ask you something, Benny. I said, sure. She said, you travel and you preach all these youth camps. You go every night. You've given your sacrifice, your health. Many times you can't even talk because you've shot your voice out preaching, yelling, getting excited. I said, you're right. She said, I want to ask you, why won't God let us have a baby? Why won't God give us a baby? You love children. Why won't God give you? She said, this is real intimate. She may get on to me after lunch after saying this. But she said, I so wanted to give you a little Benny. I so wanted to give you a little Benny. I said, Barbara, God knew this world wasn't ready for two Bennies. But this is what I've learned, ladies and gentlemen. A bend in the road's not the end in the road. And God blessed us, and we went through Bethany Christian Services, and we adopted a little girl, Savannah Abigail. Smartest, most beautiful child that God has ever created. And I was looking back through the papers, adoption. And I said, look, Barbara, none of her family, her mother's side or daddy's side are in church. No record of them being in church in any capacity. And I said, Barbara, we raised her in church. I baptized her, and she loves you. She loves the Lord. I said, you know, Barbara, if we'd had biological children, we wouldn't have adopted. This little girl may have never heard about Jesus. God knows what he's doing, folks. God knows what he's doing. I don't always know what I'm doing, but God knows what he's doing. Let me tell you the fourth thing. If you're going to depend on God, and I'm almost through. If you get finished before I do, just slip out. I depend on God's defense, not mine. I depend on God's defense, not mine. See, listen to what Romans 12, this is wonderful verses. Romans 12, 19 through 21 says. It says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let me tell you something, folks. It was a great day in my life when I realized that everybody's not going to like me. Everybody doesn't like you, by the way, either. No. And it was a great day in my life when I realized if I'm going to be in leadership, I'm going to be misunderstood. It was a great day in my life when I realized, ladies and gentlemen, if I was going to be in leadership in life, you're going to be talked about. You're going to be gossiped about. Let me tell you something. You can't go out and defend all that junk. You have to trust God to be your defense. The higher you rise, the more successful you are, the more influence you get, the more shots that will come at you. Because, friend, let me tell you something. If you're going to call shots in life, you're going to take shots. And you've got to reach the point that you say, no, God, you're my defense. I remember on one occasion, Barbara said, it breaks my heart, Benny. I said, what breaks your heart, honey? She said, it breaks my heart, all the terrible things that people say about you. I said, Barbara, aren't you glad they don't know all the truth? Folks, crows only pick at the best fruit anyway. Crows only pick at the best fruit. Abraham Lincoln said these words. He said, if I tried to read, much less to answer, all the criticisms made of me and all the attacks leveled against me, this office would have to be closed for all other business. I do the best I know how. the very best I can. I mean to keep on doing this to the very end. I've taken that poem, that statement, I've framed it 100 times, and I've given it out to political people and said, thank you for your service, and always remember this. Ladies and gentlemen, in your life, you've got to depend on God's defense and not yours. You say, I'm going to go on Facebook and answer this. You'd be better off if you'd get off Facebook and get in the faith book. No. Number 5, I'm going to depend on God's wealth, not mine. I'm going to depend on God's wealth, not mine. A preacher was preaching out in the Midwest, and he said to his congregation, everybody bow your heads. No, don't bow your heads. He said that. One guy already has. He's asleep back there. But anyway, he said, bow your heads. And then he asked a question. He said, how many of you need a financial miracle? And he said, I thought there would be 10 or 12 hands go up. But he said 3/4 of the hands went up and said they needed a financial miracle. Let me tell you something, friend. I don't know what you need financially, but I know this. Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. This is what I know. All money is tainted. You say, Pastor Benny, all money is tainted. It taint yours and it taint mine. It's his. He's got cattle on 1,000 hills. Friend, let me tell you something. He'd bankrupt heaven if he took that to meet your need. He said he'd supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Friend, don't you depend upon your wealth. You depend upon God's wealth. You're God's child. Why, God's going to take care of you. God's going to see you through enough. Why, I've been through enough to know he'll be enough for me. Amen. Why, he's come through so many times, and that puts my mind at ease. You can depend on God's wealth. This is what I want to say. And I'm done. I've enjoyed preaching today. I want to buy the CD. Charles Spurgeon said it best. He said, God's too loving to be unkind. He's too wise to be mistaken. When I can't trace his hand, I can trust his heart. And I've made up my mind, ladies and gentlemen, I believe you're in agreement with me. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to lean to his wisdom, not mine. I'm going to depend upon his strength, not mine. I'm going to trust his timing, not mine. I'm going to let him be my defense, not myself. And I'm going to trust his resources and not mine. Oh, let me let me say this first. The only thing I have, you said, Pastor Benny, how rich are y'all? I'll tell you how rich you are, friend. You don't know how rich you are? Tell me everything you got that money can't buy and death can't take away, and I'll tell you how rich you are. Everything that money can't buy and death can't take away. Let me tell you something. You can trust him. I'm trusting him with the only thing that I've got that's eternal. I got a house. I get on 75 and go a few exits down there. Me and United Bank got a house. More United Bank than mine. Let me tell you something. I'm going to leave it. I don't even own a car. You said, Pastor Benny, boy, you drive a nice car. It's not mine. It belongs to the church. If they fired me, they'd want the keys 30 seconds later. Let me tell you something. None of that matters anyway. None of that matters, because the only thing I have, it's eternal, is my soul. And I've trusted him. I've trusted him with my soul. I've trusted that Jesus died for my sins. I've trusted him that when I die, I'll go to heaven because of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, folks. If I can trust him with that, I can trust him with my finances. I can trust him with my health. I can trust him with my daughter. I can trust him with everything I'm walking through. I can trust him because I've already trusted him. But what really matters, that being my soul, and you can too, by the way. Let me tell you something, folks. If you hadn't trusted him with your soul, do that today. Because eternity's too long to be wrong. Eternity's too long to be wrong.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.